Welcome to the Fight White Genocide podcast with Laura, Ken, and Jeff, where we talk about whatever we think is important in the global struggle against white genocide. This is podcast number 7, recorded March 25th, 2019. Today's topic is genocide denial at the New York Times, and we have a special guest joining us, John. How are you, John?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How are you,
Laura? Laura, how are
hey.
You?
Hey guys, how you doing? Doing good.
Ken?
Hey, how's it going?
Well, we're going to talk about this piece from Farhad Manju. He wrote an article in the editorial section of the New York Times trying to debunk the white genocide conspiracy theory, and he also did a podcast on it or a video or audio. So we're just going to go ahead and play that and comment on it. So
break
here it goes.
Down.
Hi. Hi, everyone. Hi. I am talking about my column this week. I wrote about, I'm Farhad Manju. I'm an opinion columnist at the New York Times. I wrote this column about the Great Replacement. It's this conspiracy theory. That's the label, the sort of somewhat new label for this conspiracy theory that white people are going extinct, which is the theory that fed the ravings of the New Zealand shooter and has been sort of gaining steam online for a few years.
Okay.
Well, first off, I think let's cover what the definition of genocide is. You know, for these people that seem to get misdirected with the definition of genocide.
I can recite it.
Oh, there we
go. The part of the UN Convention 260 on genocide. The part that we focus on is deliberately inflicting conditions of life calculated to bring about the physical destruction of a race or group in whole or in part. And of course, this is genocide is any attempt to destroy in whole or in part any race, ethnic, national, or religious group.
That's right. Genocide means any of the following acts committed with intent to destroy, in whole or in part. And that's exactly right. So when these people, you know, bring up a genocide and how it's, no mass killings, that is not the definition of genocide. When we're talking about white genocide, it is the fact that it is flooding all white countries and only white countries with millions of non-whites and then force assimilating those populations, i.e. intermarriage with all those non-whites that is white genocide.
Yeah. And the other thing here is he talks about the Great Replacement, and he's saying that this is a conspiracy theory. White genocide is a conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. Wikipedia just added a new entry on the Great Replacement. It's called the Great Replacement Conspiracy Theory, is how they label it. The United Nations and the European Union have an official policy, which they call, quote-unquote, replacement migration. I don't know how you could say that the Great Replacement is a conspiracy theory when it is official policy.
Mm-hmm.
That is the name of the policy. How
right.
is that like some hidden conspiracy? And of course, white genocide is not a conspiracy. We've all heard people for decades bragging about how they're going to turn white countries into a brown future, and it's going to end racism. Once we get rid of white people, it's going to end racism. And of course, they don't put it that way. They say all the races are going to mix together. And it will end racism. But of course, this is only being pushed onto white countries. Asia remains Asian. Africa remains African. White countries are the only countries being deliberately forced into this genocidal condition.
Right. And if genocide was only killing, that would mean that if you sterilized every black person, that wouldn't be genocide. Or if you took every female Chinese and sent them to South America, that wouldn't be genocide either. Well, obviously they would be. They would lead to the elimination of those two races. So I say, in shorthand, genocide is any attempt to eliminate a group by any means.
Exactly.
If somebody ever says, well, genocide means killing, you can always bring up the law and bring up that point about sterilization. Well, if you're saying that genocide is only murder, so if you sterilized the entire black race, according to you, that wouldn't be genocide. But we all know it is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Just one thing there on conspiracy that he brings up. It's quite obvious why he does that, because he knows that he himself is not his part of a grand conspiracy. He's never been to any conspiracy meeting. So when he brings up the word conspiracy, it's kind of a straw man, really, to make sure that those who don't agree are, you know, lunatics. And the problem here is, of course, that there are plenty of people on our side who want to go into conspiracy theories to prove how smart they are, how well read they are. Mm-hmm. Want to launch their own theory. Now, this is something I'm intimately familiar with, like any theory will do, literally, to explain everything. So using conspiracy theory is an out for them. It drags the conversation onto a different subject. Mm-hmm. So I think the way to answer such a thing is to say that there is no conspiracy, but there is an issue here that needs to be discussed. Mm-hmm. And that's the appropriate answer to the conspiracy talking point that he brings up.
Well, just calling it a conspiracy theory doesn't disprove it at all.
Mm-hmm. Right, but the problem is like when Ken mentioned here, like the UN's document, the problem is like, okay, well, it's in the UN document, but this doesn't necessarily mean that governments pursue this because it is in the UN document. I mean, you can't prove this. So therefore, I think the trying to prove a conspiracy is the wrong way to go about it.
But it can't. It's not.
I'm not trying to prove a conspiracy. I'm trying to prove it's not a conspiracy.
But they openly brag about it. Anti-whites openly brag about the fact of white people becoming a minority in our own homelands. I mean, it's not a conspiracy. It's their goal. It's what they openly call for.
Right, but you want to get away from alluding to a conspiracy when there is none, because that's an out for them to talk about conspiracies.
Right, and we want to discuss it.
Yeah, we do.
We want to discuss the issue instead of the theory, right?
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, calling something a conspiracy theory isn't an argument anyway, though. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, but
even whether it is or it isn't, it doesn't matter. It's true and it's happening. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, let's listen to a little bit more of what he says.
Sure.
But it didn't sort of have this branding that it has achieved lately. So I kind of looked into the conspiracy theory, looked at the people pushing it and how they were pushing it, and I found some really interesting things about kind of how the world worked, and there were lots of questions and discussions about my column, so I wanted to get into. So what was interesting about the theory is that it's been online for a while, this idea that because of declining birth rates in Western countries and because of immigration, there's been this sense among, there's a sort of respectable view of it, which is the Census Bureau and others publish these projections of demographics in the future. Demographic change, and they point out that at some point, several decades from now, it's possible that in the United States, whites will become a minority. Although I looked into these, and there's no certainty at all. Actually, there's actually a big debate amongst demographers about this.
Okay,
there's a lot there. Yeah, a lot to go over.
So first of all, I can go on record saying here that he never contacted me or attempted to contact me on what genocide is. Anyone else here? Did he contact?
Nope.
Did he? You're a journalist. Isn't that the kind of thing that you're supposed to do?
Yeah,
try
isn't
to get the other
both
side?
Sides? Yeah.
The New York Times is the article of record. Why isn't this guy doing proper research? Why isn't he talking to people? Why is he straw manning? Like saying, oh, yes. what genocide is because of declining birth rates and immigration? Well, that's part of it, but that's not the whole thing. You're straw manning an argument.
His stated purpose for making this was to debunk this crazy theory, but if you go through the whole thing here, I defy anybody to say where he even actually states our actual claim, let alone debunks any of it.
Mm-hmm. How do you debunk an accusation when you can't even acknowledge the actual accusation?
I mean, our accusation is that we have mass non-white immigration and forced assimilation in all white countries. I mean, he didn't even try to debunk that, not that you could.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's why he didn't try, because he knows he can't. He knows the actual accusation. He just didn't want to acknowledge it.
And whether
maybe he knows the actual accusation, we can't be sure of that. I mean, he just looks at social media, and there are a lot of people who are not on message on social media, so he maybe just picks it up from there.
Our website is pretty much the main resource to this. If you type in white genocide, one of the first ones that pops up is what your site, This Is Europa, and ours, fightwhitegenocide.com. So he didn't delve deeply into this. He wasn't investigating very much, obviously. Or maybe he was, and he just didn't want to state our actual claim. He just wants to muddy the waters and obfuscate the claim and pretend it's something that it isn't.
Mm. Yeah,
journalists are lazy.
There's a debate about demography. Well, so what, you know? It doesn't matter how fast or slow genocide is occurring. The conditions are being imposed on our white countries, and that makes it genocide. Even if it's not successful, it's still genocide. Attempted genocide is genocide. It doesn't matter whether they're successful or not. It doesn't matter how long it may or may not take.
Yeah. Another point here is another way he strawmans it is he talks about white extinction. That he says, oh, they're saying white people are going extinct. And blah, blah, blah. That's not our claim. Our claim is that we are being inflicted. We have conditions of life inflicted upon us that are leading to the destruction of our race in whole or in part.
Yeah. Well, and he goes into the birth rates, you know, that is an explanation to this, you know, but we've been over this, you know, that even if whites increased birth rates, it is still not going to stop this, the genocide of white people with the amount of the massive non-white immigration into white countries and the assimilation that is taking place, you know, the intermarriage with those non-whites and the crux of why this is white genocide.
Yeah, exactly. Because he mentions birth rates and he mentions immigration, but he does not mention assimilation.
Assimilation.
Which means that his point is, what he's doing there is he's debunking the so-called replacement. And then he ties in white genocide with that. But what he's debunking is actually the replacement, or attempting to debunk is the replacement theory. Mm-hmm. So that's what he's doing. He's taking the easy way out, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very common when you see these articles on debunking white genocide. They never mention forced assimilation. They never mention it.
That's it.
Apparently, that's not a part of our claim, according to them. They never want to talk about it.
Unless they're laughing about it.
Yeah, unless they're trying to muddy the waters, which, in my estimation, that's what they're doing.
For the first time in U.S. history, minorities now seem to be surpassing white folks in births. And the forecast is that white folks are on track to becoming, and I hate to say this, the minority in America.
Yeah, that's Whoopi Goldberg on The View, so they openly brag and laugh about it.
That's it.
Celebration. Yay. White kids are becoming minorities.
But then we point out what that is. There's a program of genocide. They say, what genocide? What are you talking about? Instant Alzheimer.
That's it.
It is.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Jordan, keep listening.
All right.
And then there's this sort of misogynistic element. element to it too, which is this idea that it's feminism that's causing it. And so this has been kind of online and prevalent online for several years and has gotten, you know, interest on YouTube, on Reddit, on channels that nationalist thought, message boards like 8chan. There's this idea that white people are going extinct. And usually you hear this term, this whole theory referred to as the white genocide theory. That's been kind of the branding online. But it hadn't really taken off as that under that branding. I mean, the idea has been
All right. That's why he's doing this podcast.
That's why he's talking about it. Yeah.
Hasn't really, yeah. That's why, I mean, there's been countless mentions. I mean, white genocide has been talked about on everything from, you know, HBO to CNN to, you know, Newsweek, Time Magazine, but it hasn't really taken off.
Yeah.
That was years ago. Trump, the president of the United States, tweeted it and everybody was talking about it. Hillary Clinton mentioned it on her most famous campaign speech.
Yeah.
But it hadn't taken off.
It hasn't gone viral, yeah.
No, it hasn't.
It's it also brings to that point, you know, why Bob used to say about, you know, that white genocide was the hard sell. You know, the people in our own, on our own side, Jared Taylor and Kevin McDonald, you know, they had a, they also had trouble in using this terminology because they claimed that it invoked the vision of mass killing. But that is why, you know, we need to keep going back to the definition of genocide and pointing out, because genocide is the crime. It is the crime that is being committed and is able to be charged. You know, that we can charge these anti-whites that are pushing this criminal program of genocide against our race. And as you said, I mean, it has taken off. You know, it has gone viral and it is, as this guy is discussing it, it is a discussion because it has gone viral.
As far as the people that say it's a hard sell because people think that genocide means mass killing. Okay. If the only thing we have to do is inform the public of the definition of genocide, then, that seems like a pretty easy thing to accomplish. Yeah. As long as we get everybody working together to get out the definition, to make people understand what genocide really is. The other thing is that ignorance of the law has never been an excuse to break the law. I've never been into a court where a guy said, yeah, I didn't know the speed limit was that, and therefore I shouldn't have to pay the ticket. I've never seen anybody get away with that.
Whoever thought that taking power would be easy? I mean, this is a propaganda war, and this is what has to be done. In a war, you do what has to be done, whether it's hard, whether it's easy, not so hard, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. This is what has to be done.
As Bob would say, it's not sexy. What we're doing is not very sexy. It's a lot of repetition, and you may feel that you're being simplistic by repeating these points, but it has to be done. That's what the anti-whites did to get into power. They repeated it. They know that they were being repetitive and mundane, but they did it because they knew that's what it meant. That's the tactic to take power. So we need everybody involved repeating the talking points, repeating yourself over and over and over again as many times as it takes for people to finally get it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They have no problem repeating racist, supremacist, bigot over and over and over, no matter how, you know, intellectual they are. They stay on message. We have to stay on message.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah, I did notice he mentioned their feminism. Like, this is like an invitation to change the subject at matter and talk about something else. So you don't want to even address this, right?
Exactly, John. Yep.
Right. You don't want to tailgate. You don't want to go off message. If you do, whatever you talk about, you know, stay on message.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll go back to Farhad Manju.
Kind of around online, but the genocide label hadn't taken off according to like Google search and Google trends, in part because like this is not genocide. We're talking about slow demographic change. And
okay, you could call any genocide a demographic change, and it doesn't matter how fast or slow it is.
Mm-hmm.
Genocide is genocide.
Yeah, what happened in Rwanda was just a demographic change.
Yeah, Armenia. Just
demographics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Apparently.
So there needed to be some kind of rebranding. And when I looked into, when I talked to some researchers about the New Zealand shooting, I got the sense that one of the things that the shooter was trying to do with his manifesto, which he called the Great Replacement, was trying to kind of capture this keyword on Google to make this a brand for this theory. The Great Replacement is this term coined by this French writer a few years ago, and people in these circles had been talking about it, had been talking about this idea, but it seemed like the shooter saw that there were not a lot of there's not a lot of content on Google and YouTube under this term, the Great Replacement, and he wanted to kind of make this, make his attack lead to this branding. He titled his manifesto "The Great Replacement," and you know, if you Googled "The Great Replacement" and searches for it went way up in the last after the shooting, and if you Googled for it, you would have found his manifesto. And so I looked in.
Okay. Well, I think we say that the Great Replacement is a step backwards. It's not a step forwards. It's a watering down of our message, actually. It's not an improvement on it.
What he's also stating there, too, is making our point about that we're being censored. You know, we're totally our whole message and platform and everything that we put out there is totally censored off of Google and YouTube. You right. know, they deny us any platform because you know it's the truth and they need to censor it. They can't allow any free discussion.
Within the last few months, Google has went into overdrive to make sure that our results are not even on the first on the front page. Most of the other search engines you go to, if you type in the phrase white genocide, our website fightwhitegenocide.com will be one or two at the top. But Google has deliberately tried to drown us out and to make sure that our videos and our websites are not even on the front page. And I'm pretty sure that this New York Times guy knew that and he didn't do his research or he didn't do his research. One or the other.
I mean, if it truly is a conspiracy theory and there's not, you know, no truth behind it, then why not allow the discussion of it? You know, why the need to censor it?
Yeah, I mean, why make it look like a conspiracy by censoring it?
Right.
Not to mention the reason. So he's admitting that the reason the shooter committed this crime is because our message wasn't getting out because of the censorship. Yeah. It was the only way he could get any attention to it. So this is another perfect example of how censorship causes violence.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and YouTube, but we were talking about this earlier, but in YouTube, what they've done, even if you go to YouTube and you type in the phrase white genocide and then you search by view counts, they will deliberately take anti-white videos with low view counts and put them at the very top.
Yeah.
And drown. We've got videos with, or at least pro-whites have videos with millions of views under the title white genocide. And they are not even on the front page of a YouTube search when you type that in. That's how deliberate this censorship campaign has been. They are literally going through and typing in our key phrases to make sure that they are filtered out.
That's it.
Yeah, nobody's censoring the anti-whites, so.
Nope. No, they're being promoted by YouTube.
Mm.
There's this one video of like a guy trying to debunk it, and again, he never mentions forced assimilation, never mentions the law on genocide. They've deliberately made his video number one, and it's only got like 10,000 views, which is very low compared to videos that pro-whites have put out under the very same title. It's not happening, but we have to censor people.
Exactly.
There's no conspiracy, but we're working very hard to make sure to censor what people like myself and Jeff and Laura are saying. Interesting.
It is, yeah.
All right.
I looked looked into this theory, and it turns out there's just a lot of obviously there's no sort of factual basis to a lot of their claims. This is a conspiracy theory by white supremacists.
So he's not even going to try to refute her. He just says it's nonsense, you know.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. There's no facts. No facts of what's going on. America's not calculated to become non-white. England's not calculated. The British people are not calculated to be minorities in their country by 2060.
This guy's a paid journalist.
Right. He's a paid anti-white journalist.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not happening, but whites are becoming the minority, you know.
Yes.
Like, even if they do, you know, becoming a smaller share of the population in the United States and Europe, well, you know, what do you expect is going to happen if you flood in millions of non-whites into every white country? You know, what do you think is going to happen to white people?
White people are not becoming a minority. Of course white people are becoming a minority. This is how they work. It's all gaslighting and schizophrenia.
Yeah.
They are crazy.
Contradictions, constant contradictions in what they state. Yeah.
But I thought that it was interesting that he was trying to sort of claim this branding. And so I got a lot of, comments and questions about this. I think the two main questions that I got about this article was, like, one, why write an article to refute this idea that is a conspiracy theory, which I think is a valid point. One of the problems online is people raise a lot of dumb, ideas. And when...
Yeah, why? If it's not happening, why are you writing this article? That's a great question.
There's all kinds of dumb ideas he could be talking about. Why this one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, he goes on there about, there's no factual basis to our claims, and it's a conspiracy theory by white supremacists. You know, who's a white supremacist? I don't want to supremacize anybody. How can I be a supremacist when there's nobody around but white people? You know,
we actually know who is a white supremacist. Ta-Nehisi Coates said that Mitt Romney is a white supremacist, so that means Romneyite, you're a white supremacist. So that's the answer.
What was that? Do you want to repeat that, John?
Yeah, sure. Ta-Nehisi Coates, you know, the black intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
He said in the run-up to the 2012 election that... Mitt Romney is a white supremacist.
Well, you know, I tend to agree with that, because these conservative types, they want to bring all these non-whites in here, and then they say they have to assimilate, meaning they have to pretend to act white. So, yeah, that's supremacy, you know. If you bring people in and then demand they act a certain way, well, that's supremacy, yeah.
If you want to rule over non-whites, you want to bring them in and rule over them, you're a white supremacist. But that Ta-Nehisi Coates, or whatever his name is, that's a funny account. Every time you go there, somebody's a white supremacist. Everybody's a white supremacist.
Mm.
But the whole label, I mean, he's using a lot of language here to try to scare people into accepting our ideas, saying white supremacists. If you don't want white people to, if you don't want white kids to become hated minorities in Europe and America, then you're a white supremacist and you hate everybody who's non-white. That's generally the narrative that they try to push out, and it's a sick narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And when media kind of engage with it in a careless way, you risk spreading. You risk spreading the whole topic to a wider audience. I feel like that's what trolls sort of depend on. But I thought what was interesting here was this term was, didn't have a lot of Google results. And so I wanted to write an article that, you know, climbed to the top of Google, for that search term to kind of get some facts out to people. So I thought that was the reason to kind of entertain the idea. And, I should say, it worked. Like, the term is now.
What do you know? all of our stuff that we put on goes to the bottom of the list, and his stuff immediately goes to the top.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, New York Times is a trusted source. So
right.
And he's putting out facts by calling people white supremacists and just calling things absurd.
Because these are the facts.
He's right there, though. He's telling, he's saying about that, you know, putting out this to, you know, he's doing our job for us in getting this terminology and white genocide out there. You know, he's rolling in the grey goo, which is exactly what, you know, we want. And that's just proves the point even more so that it's such a topic. You know, it is such a hot topic at the moment that it is being discussed, that he is discussing it. And
they have two choices. They can spread our message or they can ignore it.
Well, hold on, though. Why are they afraid of spreading a message that's absurd and not based in fact?
Yeah. They shouldn't. Yeah.
Why would you fear that? Why?
Yeah, exactly. Because it is, and they know it is. You know, that's why he doesn't actually take on the definition of genocide. You know, he doesn't actually go into it. He just says that it's mass killings.
And he won't even talk about forced assimilation. He won't even state our actual claim.
Right.
Let alone.
But that's because he's talking about the Great Replacement. That's the title of his piece, right? So he goes into what that is all about. And assimilation, not part of it. Right. That's the out he uses, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's more of a reason not to use the phrase Great Replacement.
Exactly.
It worked. Like, the term is now... The article and art and media articles about this conspiracy theory are now what you get on Google for this term, and so you don't get as much about the pro conspiracy theory ideas in return for that keyword, which is like a good thing about it's a good way to in some ways tamp down the prevalence of such ridiculous ideas. The other.
So he's praising internet censorship.
Yeah.
I thought he called it prevalent. I thought it hadn't caught on.
Yeah.
It's prevalent.
The other claim, the other response to my article was that, so Thomas Kamphen was one of the people, he's on Twitter, who wrote this, who sort of suggested this idea, which is, who cares? If the white race disappeared altogether, it wouldn't matter at all. What matters is culture, and if Americans remain American culturally, then it doesn't matter in the slightest what color they are. I think this is, I agree. I mean, I agree that we should.
Okay. Well, why would you even bring that up unless you're trying to get rid of white people?
Right. Yeah.
It's just, you're saying that if white people do disappear, it's not so bad. Okay. Well, why would you even say that unless your intent was to get rid of white people?
Right.
Or to downplay the white genocide.
He denies it, but then says, "Oh, you know, who cares if it does happen?" Right. You know, well, there's no
factual basis behind it, but okay, let's say it's happening. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Why even bring that up?
Yeah, it's culture.
It's not happening, so why even bring that up? Right.
But it's okay if it does happen.
Right. Yeah. You're a Nazi if you think it's happening, and you're a Nazi if you don't want it to happen.
Right.
I agree. I mean, I agree that we shouldn't look at, we shouldn't think about the health of a country or a culture by racial status. But I also think that...
Well, did you or your ancestors look at the color of the country you moved to? That didn't matter at all, huh? Okay. Yeah. I don't... When people want to escape a country, then they choose, okay, which country am I going to escape to? I guarantee you they're looking at the skin color of the country they want to escape to.
And maybe that's something we need to tell these non-white immigrants, is that you shouldn't look at the health of a country by a racial status. You should remain where you are.
Yeah.
Culture by racial status. But I also think that this idea that white people are... somehow in decline in the United States has fed a lot of crazy thinking, and we should also just sort of note the real facts, which is that, you know, in general and politically, by wealth in a lot of other sort of stats, white people as a group are doing quite well in the United States. They are the wealthiest Americans. You know, if you look at wealth by racial category, they are among the healthiest. They there are.
So what?
Yeah. How is that justified genocide?
So it's okay to justify. It's okay to genocide high achievers and people who take care of themselves, I guess.
I thought none of this is happening. So why even bring this up? Yeah. If it's if white genocide is not happening, as he points out, why is any of this relevant?
And why shouldn't white people, you know, in their own countries have, you know, have what he's stating?
Right.
You know.
Yeah, well, he's inviting to talk about income levels or taxation or anything else. Like, it's an invitation to talk about anything but the subject at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what he's doing.
Yeah, a lot of pro-whites probably would have tailgated at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And say, well, or, you know, we earned it, we deserved it, which is true. But
yeah,
that's irrelevant.
That's a great point to bring up here, is that what he's doing here is trying to lead people off into different topics. And when you are encountering anti-whites and engaging them, they are going to try to change the subject and bring it off to something else, like he did with feminism and like he's doing now with, like, things like, quote unquote, white privilege. They mm-hmm. want you off the subject of white genocide and talking about something else. That's what mm-hmm. they're trying to do, and that's why you don't do it. You mm-hmm. continue.
Yeah,
on.
He also used the word decline, talking about white people in decline, and then after that he brought up income levels and you know, health levels. So it's kind of a two-step away from the topic, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Some depressing stats in recent years about suicides and opioid deaths among white people, but it's not some existential problem that is going to lead to sort of a huge to what these people call extinction. And so I thought it was, you know, important to get that out there. TR in our comments at the New York Times, he said, ideas like this and resurgent white identity politics are a powerful piece of psychological projection on a mass scale. The feelings of decline that many working class whites in America feel is real. What is absurd and dangerous, though, is that these ideas is the idea that these declines have something to do with race.
Okay. Why is there a decline that has nothing to do with race? Okay.
Hold on. What was that?
Okay, I'll play it again. He was quoting somebody else here.
TR, in our comments at the New York Times, he said, ideas like this and resurgent white identity politics are a powerful piece of psychological projection on a mass scale. The feelings of decline that many working class whites in America feel is real. What is absurd and dangerous, though, is that these ideas is the idea that these declines have something to do with race.
whites are in decline, and they feel that, but it has nothing to do with race.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it makes a good point there, because that's not the discussion you want to have. You can have the discussion like, oh, if the Mexicans come in and take jobs, is this the reason for decline in white people's life expectancy? I mean, you can try to make the case, but it's a difficult one to make. So again, it's like he's inviting another discussion to be had instead of the original one.
Mm.
He does this almost in everything he says, right? Mm. And what he's always avoiding is the assimilation point, always missing from anything he says.
Yeah. Yeah, that, you know, nobody wants to live in a brown country. They all want to come here. And but what happens when you turn America into a brown third world? You know, that's what this comment that guy's talking about, right? He's taking it away from the fact that it's racial. You know, that, well, I think, you know, we had that discussion before about, you know, just because they come across the border, it doesn't make, it's not this magic dirt that we have here that makes everyone into white people or in living in white standards. And you know, it's the people make up the country, and when you bring in mass brown third world and turn America into a brown third world. It's exactly as what's happening. And I mean, that's what he's noted, isn't it? That's what that guy, that if you read that comment, isn't that what he's saying? But he's not putting it down to race as racial. He's economic.
Yeah, you can blame other people. You can blame the capitalists, or you can blame the government for high taxes, whatever. It's a way to distract the discussion from the topic.
Essentially,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, essentially their point is, and they try to make this point all the time, is that you can take America, you can fill it full of Mexicans, and it's not going to become Mexico. We all know that's ridiculous. We all know if you replace white Americans with Mexicans, all you're going to get is Mexico. But this idea that has nothing to do with race is absolutely silly, but we're all supposed to go along with it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the problems is that in reporting about this, the media tends to emphasize race. Like you saw those stories about visiting communities about white communities after the Trump election, and talking about all of the difficulties those communities are facing, and that feeds to this sort of impression in the media that there's some sort of larger scale decline that's related to race. And, you know, those are particular problems in particular places that you can write about and talk about without necessarily, you know, without attributing to them to some kind of larger story about race. But I think that's the way we've talked about it.
Any comment there?
Yeah, I think he's right in what he's saying, the way he describes it. If you look at like West Virginia, there are a lot of poor communities there with like 99% white people. So how do you make the case that this is due to race? You can, but it's a difficult one to make. And it's off topic, really. It's not the discussion at hand you want to have.
Right. That's kind of my thinking on it. Like this stuff that you're talking about, the non-issue. It has nothing to do with what white genocide or anything.
So he's saying that we're going to scapegoat non-whites for this, for problems.
Well, some people are. So he's right about that. So you know, you gotta keep away from doing that, possibly.
Well, and that's why it's important that we be heard. So these people that want to escape. Or scapegoat non-whites will have a better outlet, a better way to discuss their grievances, rather than trying to blame it all on non-whites. You know,
We don't do though. We have the focus on anti-whites. You know, those people that are pushing this. I mean, there's plenty of traitors out there that are pushing this program.
So, I mean, it lends more credibility to why they need to allow us to have a voice in this conversation, so people have a different outlet rather than, you know, blaming non-whites.
Mm-hmm.
Lilo from Michigan says, what's the solution? Hate should be confronted and stopped. Also, immigration must be slowed and in some case halted. Otherwise, there will indeed be war. I mean, yeah. I don't think that we're headed there, and I don't think that's an obvious implication.
Well, it is in every other time and place in history. So,
people.
Yeah. Well, what if you say that you're making a war prediction? That's a pretty bold statement that you're making. So, I would advise against using that statement, actually. What you could say instead is that you don't want to force people together. I think that's a better avenue to attack this than predicting civil war, because that has been predicted many, many times and hasn't occurred yet.
Well, I mean, what we could do is point out that, you know, forced diversity means forced conflict. It's going to create conflict. So rather than bringing it up into a war aspect, when you increase the diversity, increase the forced assimilation, you are increasing conflict. That's all you were doing.
Especially when you didn't decrease the discussion element on it, you know, that if you deny any discussion of these issues, then of course it's going to turn into violence or conflict.
Right, and also when they want to integrate, when it goes wrong, they always blame white people every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And even children who don't want to integrate, they blame them too. So every time they try it, it ends up with blaming white people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, every single time. This is something you can observe, and it's a good point to make, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What you're noticing is that people are worried about demographic and cultural change, but it's not, I don't think that the sort of obvious, that obviously leads to, indeed there will be war. I think that that's, it's one of those things where we talk about like slow demographic change over time. We often think about it, it's difficult to think about it as, happening, you know, slowly over time. People sort of go to these maximalist impressions about the future, and I think that's unhelpful. Dave in Seattle says, the people who complain about white replacement are really more concerned about losing white privilege. I mean, I feel like there's some of that, but I don't think that that's necessarily, like, that's true of the actual white supremacists, but I also think people just have difficulty responding to, like, change around them over time. And I think that
I found on his article there that he had quoted one of the one of the videos, and it said, that's white privilege for you. We even get a nice version of genocide. You know, like how absurd is that? You know, in saying that it's genocide is genocide regardless of how it is achieved. There is nothing nice about genocide, and the fact that we are being subjected to it, you know, that he's saying it over.
I thought it wasn't happening. What do you mean we get a nice version? We get a nice version of something that isn't happening?
Isn't happening, right.
Yeah, that's a joke.
His entire article.
And I would argue that the psychological warfare they engage in people is actually worse than any kind of honest genocide.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, getting people to go along with their own destruction?
Sick.
Very sick.
Yeah, it's a psychological war. You know, they're just what they're doing to white children, to hate, you know, to the white self-hatred. It is sick.
Yeah, I mean, they're using their higher mental human functions to to perpetrate this crime of genocide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just a crime of passion or something. It's premeditated. It's
mm-hmm.
it's like first degree genocide.
Yep.
And I think that some of what you're seeing is that, and then there's these sort of forces. Hateful people online who are using these kind of slow demographic changes as a recruitment tool. I thought that I was actually more impressed with how the tech platforms responded to these.
Again, he's praising censorship.
Censorship, yep.
To these concerns, this time, you know, than previous times we've seen attacks like this, I feel like we usually fight these tech platforms and sort of criticize them for, in YouTube's case, kind of indoctrinating people through their algorithms toward more extremist positions. That seemed to play a role here. There was some...
Well, he's cheering that on when Google does it to promote his extreme anti-white position.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And at the start, he stated that, you know, it wasn't really in the Google searches, and it wasn't, you know, so that was why this guy in New Zealand did what he did to boost it up there. But now at the end, he's stating that it's actually they're censoring it and they're doing it, and it's a good thing that they're doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's full of contradictions, this fella.
Yes, he is.
There was some fanning of these ideas through social networks like Facebook, and the way the attacker used Facebook during the attack was obviously a new way of using the internet to spread these kinds of terrible ideas. But over time, I've noticed that like one of the problems we had in previous mass shootings was that initially, right after the attack, Google and YouTube were full of claims of this being a false flag attack and sort of other trolly type of misinformation. And I thought it was actually pretty interesting how quickly they addressed those problems, and you didn't see as much of that this time. I think that our ability to kind of live with these technologies and the way that they are affecting our society, it's gonna take some time, but actually I have a sense that like there's been some improvement, and perhaps it's not as kind of hopeless as it may have sounded a few.
So he's hopeful that they'll get better at censoring us, I guess.
Mm. And he's hopeful that they'll promote his conspiracy theory that neo-Nazi white supremacists, racist, xenophobic, evil people are spreading lies about white genocide. Yeah. Apparently, that's a conspiracy he promotes, that it's neo-Nazi white supremacists spreading hateful rhetoric and lies.
A non-existent conspiracy theory. that they openly brag about.
Yeah.
The case he's making there is that censorship prevents violence.
Yeah, it's actually the opposite.
Yeah, there's no evidence that massive censorship is going to curb violence at all.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is the opposite. Yep. Discussion is the human alternative to violence.
Yeah.
And if it's so easy to debunk it, but of course obviously it's not, because he didn't even try.
Right. And he shares a tweet about it being a nice genocide, that it's not happening, and it's a nice genocide.
What, you can't take a joke?
Yeah.
As it may have sounded a few months ago, a few years ago, I feel like the tech platforms realize the scale of the problem and are moving perhaps slowly to fix them, but they're not like ignorant of challenges they face, or at least as ignorant as they were a year ago. So I saw some level of comfort in that this time. And we've been living through some terrible times and terrible events. But I feel like I felt this time that there was at least like some in the response from YouTube and Facebook, there was some measure of kind of responsibility there that I'm, you know, optimistic about.
All right.
What was he optimistic like when the quote unquote anti-racist set a busload of kids on fire in Italy? Was he optimistic that they would go and mass censor anti-whites off of social media? People like himself. Yeah. Was he optimistic about that? I don't
know. Never happens. Yeah. Well, we certainly welcome to speak with this fella and tell him the true definition of genocide and why what is taking place is white genocide.
But what's, you know, this guy here is the face of white genocide himself. The guy, he was born in South Africa, I guess. Well, what's wrong with South Africa? Why didn't you and your parents stay there? You know, why did you want to move to America? If race doesn't matter, if skin color doesn't matter, you know. You didn't judge us by our skin color, huh? Okay. Mm. Well, why don't you go to Nigeria then, you know, if skin color doesn't matter?
It's not happening.
So, plus, you married a white girl. Okay. Yeah. So there you go. Forced assimilation. If you weren't here, if you weren't here, you know, they wouldn't.
It's not happening. He's not writing for the New York Times. He's not living in New York. It's not happening.
Mm.
Yeah. None of that's happening.
Just look at his wedding photo. There you go. Mm. There's white genocide. The conditions of interbreeding are forced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why he doesn't bring it up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
That's it.
I mean, that's why he doesn't bring it up. She had to go.
Would she have married him if she had to go to live in India or whatever his guy's ancestors are from?
Of course not.
There you go. And she gets to live with the rest of the white people, at least for now, until it becomes a brown country. Of course, they won't succeed, but if we don't stop them, I suppose they will.
Somebody should tell his wife that the health of a country is not determined by the race. Mm. And she should move to India or Pakistan, wherever he's from. I don't know.
Mm. All right, guys. Well, that's a wrap.
Thanks for joining us, John.
Thank you for joining us, John.
Yeah,
it was great to have you.
Anytime.
Good talking to you, John. I haven't talked to you in a while, dude.